I was thinking about the songs that we're singing. Are you free tonight? Do you value that freedom? Do you know freedom is being attacked in our nation today, is it not? But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, freedom is being attacked. Spiritual freedom is being attacked as well. And I thought of the song before that, we're going to have our mind made up. We're going to have it settled. I'm going all the way with God. And we're going to have it settled in my heart, in my mind, that no matter what it takes, no matter what it costs, I'm going to go all the way with the Lord. And dear ones, that is what it's going to take in our time today, and it's going to take in the times that are coming. We're going to have it settled. And I'm going to tell you what else we're going to have to do. We're going to have to watch. Because the enemy of our soul is out. I would like to look at a scripture this evening. You pray for us. 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter and the 13th verse. Very familiar scripture. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." My burden and my desire tonight is that the Lord would help each one of us to be strong in the faith and to be established and settled, that we would be equipped by the power of God in our lives, that we would be able to overcome everything that the enemy sends our way. But dear ones, in order to do that, we're going to have to watch. Webster defines watch as look at or observe attentively, typically over a period of time. Do you know watch is different than seeing? You can see something without watching it, but you're going to miss the details. It says keep under careful, protective, or secret observation. Follow closely or maintain an interest in. Exercise care, caution, or restraint about. Look out or be on alert for. I hope this evening that we're doing that. That we're looking out and we're on alert, because I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the enemy of our soul is after every one of us. As you can tell from these definitions, there's many aspects, if you will, of watching. And dear ones, it's important for us as the people of God that in our spiritual walk with the Lord, that we understand what to watch, how to watch, and why it is important to watch. Because I'm going to tell you, the enemy of our soul, he will do everything within his power to keep you and I distracted, to keep us from watching. It's like a parent telling a child, I want you to watch little Johnny because I'm going next door. I've got all the crystal out in the kitchen. I've been washing it, and I'm about ready to put it up. But I've got to run next door, and so I need you to watch little Johnny that he doesn't get in there, because he could not only break some of that, but he could hurt himself. She leaves. Before she leaves, she says, "Now, I want you to watch him. Stay off of your phone and watch him." Well, have you ever heard your parents say that? Well, when it starts out, she does a real good job. She diligently watches him. And every time little Johnny starts to go into the kitchen, she goes and gets him and says, no, Mama said you can't go in there. And she does that diligently, time after time. But then something happens. Something pops up on her phone, and it's a text from a friend. And so she looks at it. Now, at first, she's looking at it, and she's, "Johnny, no." And she's doing this. But after a while, little Johnny is getting complacent, and he's playing with his toys, and everything looks fine. And so she gets distracted. She begins to look, and what is she saying, and what are they doing? And she gets enthralled in that, and the next thing she knows, there's a crash and a breaking of glass and then a scream. And she immediately, and she jumps up, and she runs to the kitchen, and she's like, "Johnny, you're not supposed to be in here." You know, it's somebody else's fault. She runs in there, and then the first thing she sees is there's little Johnny with glass all around, and he's got blood on his hands, and he's got a cut on his foot, and he's bleeding. She screams, and about that time, her mother walks in. "What is going on?" And she's like, "Mom, hurry, little Johnny's bleeding." And she's like, "Why? Well, he broke this, and what was he doing in the kitchen? I told you to watch him. Well, I did, but then I didn't. Do you see, dear ones, that's exactly what the devil wants to do. You and I may be diligently watching right now, but I'm going to tell you, he's got some things to distract you. And his purpose is to cause you to get your eye off of what you're supposed to be watching. When you look at this, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 5 and 8 warned us. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Dear ones, I'm going to tell you this evening, the devil is watching each and every one of us all the time. He is walking up and down these aisles, and he's watching, looking for any sign of weakness, any sign of frustration, of hurt, of disappointment, of hesitation, of going all the way with the Lord. He's constantly watching for any avenue that he might be able to make an inroad or to gain an advantage. And he's watching for things that he can use to distract you. Because I'm going to tell you, dear ones, he knows the consequences of failing to watch. I'd like to turn to 1 Kings, the 20th chapter. I'm going to try to hurry through this. You pray for us. In 1 Kings, the 20th chapter and the 20th verse, this is where King Ahab, king of Israel, was taken, and the Syrians had come against Israel. And they had attacked Israel. And it says here, "And they slew every one his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the horsemen." Now, I want you to notice something here. Ahab won a battle. But, dear ones, his real enemy escaped. He was not able to conquer him. You go on down in this 22nd verse, and the prophet came to the king of Israel and said to him, "Go, strengthen thyself, and mark, and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against you." You know, dear ones, what the prophet was warning him was, "Ahab, I know you just won a battle, but I don't want you to get complacent. I don't want you to just go back to your palace and say, 'Well, I showed them something. I defeated them. They're not going to try that very soon again.'" He told him there, he said, "Mark, watch." He said, "See what thou doest." You need to begin to examine your life, Ahab, because you're going to need the power of God to help you. You better be careful. He said, "Watch what thou doest." Young people, as I watched this morning, as you all got up here, and I looked around back at the congregation, and most of it was empty, I thank God for you this evening. I appreciate very much your desire to live for the Lord. And I have a burden for you tonight. It's not just for you, it's for all of us. But I want you to know, if you've won some battles this summer, perhaps at camp meeting, perhaps in this meeting, perhaps you have been struggling with some things in your life, and the enemy has been wooling you around, maybe even caused you to give up. And yet the Lord in his mercy came by, and he began to deal with your soul, and he began to send messages that came right down to where you're at, and you went down to an altar, and you began to gain some victories. I'm thankful for that. Very thankful for that. But I'm going to tell you, I want to warn you this evening to watch. I want to warn you to mark and to see what thou doest. I want to encourage you this evening to begin to examine your life. And I want you to look at the struggles and the battles that you had before you began to win these battles. And I want you to mark your life. How did I get to this place? What was it that led me to make the failure that I did? What was it that made me get to the place where I really didn't have that joy and peace in my life? I want to encourage you this evening to begin to examine your heart and your life. Lord, where was it that I went astray here? And I want to encourage you to begin to strengthen yourself, as he said. Get established. Go deeper in the Lord than you've ever been before. Because I'm going to tell you, the enemy of your soul will be back. especially if you have not conquered the source of the battle, the spiritual battle that you have. The enemy would be back. When you look at this, it came to pass in this 26th verse, at the return of the year, that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. The enemy came back, just like the prophet said, didn't he? But you know, he tried it a little different. Before, he said, we fought them in the mountains, and their God is the God of the mountains, so I'm going to fight them in the valley. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if you want a battle, the enemy's going to be back, and he's going to try a little different angle. He's going to use just a little bit. Well, they recognize this, and they got to, I'm going to see if I can hook them just a little bit harder that they can't get away the next time. And so he's going to come back. Once again, as you look down through here, Ahab defeated the Syrians. And there's something that I want you to notice. This time, his enemy was delivered into his hand. Ahab, the king of the Syrians, was delivered in, I mean, not Ahab, but Ben-Hadad, the king of the Syrians, was delivered into Ahab's hand. They said, this is Ben-Hadad. And he knew who he was. He knew that this was the one that was responsible for the battles that he had been fighting. It wasn't the foot soldier. Yes, they caused problems. Yes, they were there and they fought against them and they were thorns in their side and they were there and they had to conquer those things. But that wasn't the real source of their battle. It was Ben-Hadad, the king, was the one that ordered the battles. I want you to know this evening, the devil's got a lot of footmen. He's got a lot of foot soldiers out there that he's using to attack you. He's got a lot of devices that he's using to cause you to be wounded and to hurt and to be tempted and drawn aside. But I'm going to tell you, that is not the real source of your battle. There is something that is greater than that, dear ones, that is the source of your battle. And if you don't conquer it, it'll conquer you. I'm going to tell you, one of those things is your will. It's greater than all those footmen that's out there. It's greater than all those devices that you can get and play on and do all these other things. Your will is stronger than that, and it's going to have to be conquered. Dear ones, when God reveals to you and I the real source of our spiritual battles, we need to take, and He gives us an opportunity to deal with it. We need to deal with it promptly and effectively. The longer you let it go, the longer you listen to the voice of the enemy, like Ahab did, the less and less chance that you will have of conquering it. Ahab failed to conquer his enemy. In fact, he made a league with him. If you look in this 34th verse, it says, and Ben-Hadad said unto him, the cities which my father took from thy father, I'll restore them. And thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria. Then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. So he made a covenant with him and sent him away. Oh, dear ones, this evening, I want to warn you. Don't listen to the enemy of your soul. Don't make leagues with the enemy of your soul. Don't make allowances for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't take and join yourself with things that you know has been a weakness. It's been a source that the enemy has brought spiritual weakness to you. Yes. Don't join with those things. Yes. Don't take and allow the enemy to come in and convince you, well, it'll be all right this time. This is just a little bit different. It's going to be okay. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to go back into the scriptures and you need to look at the advice that God gave to Israel. He told them, when you go into the Canaan land, He said, I want you to go in, I want you to utterly destroy all those things that will be a hindrance, that will be a pitfall to you. I want you to utterly destroy them. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, in your life, and I'm emphasizing, in your life, you need to begin to take and identify those besetting sins. Those things that the enemy has successfully used to weaken you in your spiritual walk with the Lord. And you need to take and you need to conquer those things, or they're going to conquer you. Don't listen to the enemy. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're never going to conquer them out there in the world. The world's going to have them because that's what they want. You're never going to conquer it in all your friends because it's up to them to do that. But when you look at your life and your walk with God, you're going to have to identify those besetting sins, those things that the enemy has effectively used to hinder you in the walk with the Lord. And you're going to have to conquer those, or those things are going to conquer you. When you look at this in the 39th verse, I want you to notice what the prophet said to King Ahab after he failed to conquer his enemy. It says in the 39th verse of this 20th chapter, "And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king," or as the king passed by, he cried, the prophet cried unto the king, "and he said, Thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me, and said, Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone, and the king of Israel said unto him, So shall thy judgment be, thyself hath decided it." This man was given the responsibility to keep a prisoner. No doubt an enemy of Israel. No doubt if he escaped, he would cause great harm to Israel. Because it's obvious it was very important that this man not get away, because if he did, and he let him get away, it could cost him his life. But you know what happened? As time went by, this man got busy with the things that were happening in his life, and the charge that he was giving slipped away. Now remember, he was in a battle. I'm sure, dear ones, there were a lot of things that were happening in the battle. I'm sure there was all kinds of things that were going on that were distracting. And in the process of time, his charge slipped away. He said, "And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone." Can you imagine how this man felt when he realized he's gone? Where did he go? What happened? Well, he was right here. How did it happen? When you look at this, it's like, how did he get away? Do you know the next thought that came to his mind, I'm convinced, was the penalty that was pronounced upon him. Amen. He said, "If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver." You know, it didn't matter if this was a rich man or not. He was going to pay dearly for failing to watch. And dear ones, if he failed to have on hand what it took to pay the price for failing to watch, it would cost him his life. You know, he went to the king, no doubt thinking, maybe he'll have mercy on me. But you know, the king had no mercy. He told him, "So shall thy judgment be, thyself hath decided it." Dear ones, each one of us here tonight have been given a charge. Each one of us here tonight have something that we are personally, and I'm emphasizing that word, personally responsible for. The psalmist of old, if you look over in Psalms 119 and 109, he told us what it was. He said, my soul is continuously in my hand. I am personally responsible for my soul. And dear ones, it is very important for each and every one of us here tonight to understand the responsibility that I have and you have for your souls. It's important for us to recognize how responsible I am for my soul. And that we not allow the enemy of our soul to distract us with the things of this world that are designed to draw our attention away from the charge that we've been given. Dear ones, we are in a battle as well. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things that are in our world that are designed to distract us. and to keep our attention from being focused on the charge that we've been given. They're not all evil things. There's a lot of those. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, and this is, young people, I want you to especially get a hold of this. It's not typically the evil things that the enemy starts with to begin to draw your attention away. It's the things that are lawful. It's the things that are, quote unquote, okay. It's those things that the enemy uses to begin to distract you. And as he gets you farther and farther and your attention away, then he puts in a little something else that's just a little bit wrong. And a little bit wrong. And it leads you farther and farther. But you don't have the power to be able to overcome it because he's used something else to get you. Jesus described it over in Luke, the 21st chapter. In Luke, the 21st chapter in the 34th verse, Jesus said, "And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." The cares of this life. Overcharged. I've just gotten so much going with job and school and family and hobbies and all of these things that I don't have time to read and pray. I don't have time to be there Wednesday night and give a testimony that's burning in my soul because I've got this to do and I've got that to do. And so I've got to focus. I understand. We live in a busy world, dear ones. But I'm going to tell you, it's these things that the enemy uses to get us distracted and to get us away from the place of power with God, and then he inserts a little something else. Now, I don't think anything about these things because there's nothing wrong with jobs and family and all of that. But those are the things that draw us. Do you know it can even be the work of the Lord? Lord, help us. You say, how is that? What did the writer say there? He said, as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. You know, I can almost imagine what happened to this man. Here he was in the battle. And here he was, standing there guarding this person. And he's watching all of his fellow soldiers out there work fighting. And no doubt he's thinking, I'm not doing anything. I'm just standing here. I'm just guarding this man. And they're out there. And as he gets to watching and he sees one of his soldiers and the enemy is double teaming him. And he's like, they're going to destroy him. And so he runs over there and helps him. And then he sees, here's somebody over here, and he runs over there and helps him. And pretty soon there's a cry for help here. And so he does that. It's all, quote unquote, the work of the Lord, you see. And then, no doubt he thought, well, he's tied up. He can't go nowhere. I've got all this taken care of. But all of a sudden, something happens. And he looks around. He's gone. Where did he go? How did he get away? Do you know what? This is what happens, dear ones. And this is how the enemy can get us distracted on things. And you say, well, there's nothing wrong with this. It said, as he was busy here and there, the enemy got away. The charge that he was given slipped away. Jesus said in Luke, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. Dear ones, the most important thing that we must watch is the charge that's been given to us, our soul. It's more important than anything else. Dear ones, our soul, the writer said, is continuously in my hand. Your soul is continuously in your hand. It's our responsibility to ensure that it is taken care of. I mentioned the work of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, only eternity will reveal how many ministers and gospel workers have lost out with God while quote-unquote doing the work of God. You say, how can that be? There's some of you here old enough to see many of them that have gone away. It breaks my heart. How did it happen? How can it happen? What did he say there? He said, by being busy here and there, failing to watch. Failing to watch for my own soul. Failing to allow the Lord to take me, to take time to be alone with God, where God can come down and say, Curtis, I know you're over here and you're murdering, you're doing this, but Curtis, you got a need here. You need this. You need something from me. And here I am over here working and working and doing all this. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, this is how it happens. It happens because people fail to allow the Lord to perfect His graces within their souls. It happens because they get a little hurt, a little wound from being in the battle. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're on the front lines, you're going to get some hurts. You're going to get some wounds. And you know what typically happens? Us men, we do this a lot. Just put some tape over it. Ain't got time for that. Let's just go on. We've got important things to do. I've got to get this done. Just wrap it up with tape. Yeah. But you know what happens? If we don't allow the Lord to heal those things, sometimes there's a little dirt gets in there. You don't heal properly. Maybe a little attitude. Maybe a little bit of unforgiveness. I can't believe. Here I am, who I am, and I just can't believe it. You know what the root of that is? A little pride. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when those things get into that little cut, and we just wrap it up with tape and say, I'm going on, I've got a lot of things to do. You know what happens next? Infection begins to set in. It's not long to begin to see the telltale streaks going up and down your leg or your arm or your finger, whatever it is. And people say, oh, there's something wrong. You know, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when infection sets in spiritually, it's not long. People say, oh, something's wrong. Did you see the way he acted? Do you see what happened? Do you see, dear ones, when that happens and infection starts in? You know what happens when you get infection? You get fever. You know what typically comes with fever? Weakness. I just don't have the drive that I once had. I just don't have that real, it just seems like my strength has left me. The power and anointing that they once had has slipped away. While they were busy, what did he say? While he was busy here and there, it was gone. Dear ones, when you get those wounds and those hurts, when the strength of the Lord begins to depart, the battle's not over. The devil's still fighting. He's still attacking. In fact, as he sees that in you, it just renews his determination and he'll fight harder. And as your faith begins to get weak and the shield of faith begins to drop, he is right there ready and he'll drive his dagger right into your soul deep if he can get an opportunity. You know what happens? The reason he usually drags it out and he don't just happen overnight, because he's trying to drain you of everything that you've got. The wealth. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when you have the Spirit of God in your life, you've got a wealth. The patience, the godliness, the peace of God, the love of God, the humility, like we heard this morning. And so the devil, when he tries to get you, he wants to take and just drain everything that you've got before he drives that dagger into your soul. Because the reason is when that happens and you let your charge slip away, dear ones, if you don't have on hand what it takes to pay the price for failing to watch, it will cost you your life. If you don't have the humility on hand to humble yourself before God, before your fellow man, and acknowledge, this is who I am. This is where I failed. I got busy. I got this. I did this. allow this to happen and that happen, and the next thing you know, this happened. And this is where I'm at. I'm going to tell you, that is why, dear ones, so many that have gone off and never come back is because they didn't have on hand what it took, the humility to come back and say, I'm sorry, I failed. I'm willing to come to an altar and humble myself and say, this is where I'm at. This is who I am. Dear ones, it is so vitally important that we understand the charge that we've been given. It is so vitally important that we recognize our need of building within our lives spiritual graces, love, humility, meekness, kindness. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's important because that's what it's going to take. If you stumble, if you get distracted, and sometimes it's easy to do, you're going to have to be able to come back and say, I'm sorry. When it comes down to your companion, you get busy. You ever done that? Husbands? Wives? You get busy taking care of the children. You get busy with the chores, and you get busy with the things on the job. And everything's going on, and I haven't had time to just really be alone with the Lord so the Lord could say, Curtis, careful here. We heard something about speaking sharply. You see what happens? These things happen. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if we don't have on hand what it takes to go back and say, you know what, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I'm going to tell you what will happen. You've let a charge begin to slip away. And if you don't have that on hand, you're just going to turn your back and say, well, it's her fault. It's his fault. He should have done it. The devil's going to take and come in and build walls. And next thing you know, there's going to be one thing after another. Dear ones, Lord, help us. Regardless of who we are, regardless of how long we've been saved, regardless of what we are, preacher, Sunday school teacher, deacon, dear ones, we have a charge that is primary to anything else. Any other charges that you get, this charge is primary. You can never fulfill those other charges like God would have you to if this charge has not been taken care of. Amen. You know, sometimes we look at things and we think, well, it's not my fault. Lord gave us a message when we were there at Brother Danny's. It's not your fault. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there's going to be a lot of things that's not your fault. It's not your fault if your husband fails to be the man that he should be. It's not your fault if your wife fails to be the companion that she should be, that God would have her to be. It's not your fault if your parents are not what they should be. Young people, it's not your fault. If somebody goes out there and dresses in an immodest way and you see it and it brings thoughts to your mind. But I'm going to tell you what is our fault. If we fail to avail ourselves of the grace of God that's been offered to us. Because I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there is a grace that God has that will enable you to overcome everything that you face. But you're going to have to watch. You're going to have to be very vigilant because the enemy of your soul is going to get you distracted with other things, and you're going to fail to cultivate the graces of God in your soul. And then when you fail, you don't have what it takes to come back and say, I'm sorry. This is who I am. Do you know, dear ones, I said we're in a battle. Do you know when you're in a battle, you expect to be attacked? Do you know we're in a battle, a spiritual battle, dear ones, and we should expect to be attacked. The enemy of our soul is going to do it. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. But you know what? It is our charge, our responsibility to see to it that I have on hand the grace of God, the love of God, the patience, the forbearance, all the fruits of the Spirit that I have on hand, what I need to protect the charge that I have been given. Do you know, I can say, Brother Danny, that's your responsibility. You need to make sure I get that. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, this charge is never transferred to someone else. My soul is continually in my hands. God has it available for us. And dear ones, we're going to have to be prepared. I'm going to tell you, we're living in a time in our world today where people are being attacked physically and spiritually. There are things that are happening all around us. And when you listen to that, if you're not careful, there's something that rises up within you and says, that's wrong. And they ought to be. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you, the enemy of our soul is watching. He's going to push your buttons. If he sees something that causes a little carnality to rise up, he's going to say, I'll remember that button. At the right opportunity, I'm going to push it 10 times. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, our charge is to make sure that we have on hand what it takes to overcome the things that the enemy sends our way. You might say, Brother Curtis, how do we do that? Do you know the prophet Micah said in one place, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require thee? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Three things. You know, dear ones, that don't seem like much. But I'm going to tell you, it's a lot. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, in order to live for God, we're going to have to live a holy and a righteous and a just life. And when we do that, these other things, the mercy and the humility, will be right there with it. When I have the Spirit of God in my heart and my life, I'm going to have the spirit of humility. I'm going to have the spirit of meekness. I'm going to have that mercy that comes with that. And you know what? When you begin to see those two begin to wane, it's a red flag. Something else is lacking as well. And dear ones, we're going to have to go back. You said, Brother Curtis, I've heard that. And you say, I need to have power, but how do I do that? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I'm going to try to keep this as simple and as short as I can. I know it's late. I want to encourage you, dear ones, the answers are found within the Word of God. Yes. Study the Scriptures. Yes. You will find everything that you need to give you understanding of how to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and to live a life where the graces of God can flood your soul. Yes. When you go back and you read about the tabernacle and the temple, and you read about the holy place and the most holy place, do you know those weren't just put in there just as a history of this and that's all, that's just boring? God had a purpose in putting those things there. I challenge you, young people, spend time in the Word of God. Because it'll give you understanding. Do you know what? Those are showing us two distinct works of grace, dear ones. Yes. We must have an experience of salvation, and we must have an experience of sanctification where God comes down and fills us with the power of God. That is the secret. Yes. The apostle, was it Paul that said in one place, he said, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not do what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. The secret, young people, all of us, the secret to having power over everything, the attitudes, the temptations, the frustrations, the hurts, it's all walking in the Spirit. Because when you have the Spirit of God come down and fill you, I'm going to tell you, you can't speak to your wife that way that you shouldn't without the Spirit of God coming on and saying, whoa, you can't do that. I'm not going to stay in here if you're going to act that way. Do you know what it's all about? Let me put it this way. If you go out and buy a house, it's a fixer-upper. You know what those are? It just means somebody run it down. Somebody took and just destroyed it. And you walk in there, and you walk into that house, and you look around, and it's filthy dirty. There's an odor. It stinks. Sin stinks, dear ones. You walk in there and you look and there's things that are broken. There's trash everywhere. There's to-go containers. There's old Kentucky Fried Chicken boxes all stacked up here.
the pizza boxes over here, all the old food in there, and it's just mildewed, and it's just drawing roaches and mice, and it just stinks. I want to ask you, when you get a house like that, do you just walk in there and say, okay, I'm going to set up house keeping right here? Would you take your beautiful bride to live in a place like that? I hope not. Would you parents take your young, innocent children, take them into a house like that to live? I hope not. No, what you do is you go in and you begin to remodel. You go in there and you strip out and you throw out all those to-go containers. You get all that stuff out of there. You rip that old stinky carpet up. You go in, you fix the things that are broken. You put new paint on the walls, new flooring down. And before long, you've got what looks like a new place. Yeah. You know what you've done now? You've got a place that is fit. And you can say to your young bride, I want you to come and I want you to stay here with me. This is a beautiful place. You see, dear ones, that's exactly what Christ does with salvation. He comes into a life that sin has wrecked. And he don't just come in there and say, well, I'm going to come in and live with you. I'm going to hold my nose, but I'm going to live here. I'm going to tell you, the sin you must doctrine in our world is so false. Because I'm going to tell you, Christ is not going to come into that place that's stinking and dwell there with you. He comes in and he cleans house. He comes in, he just washes us by his blood. He takes and he makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. And now we're a house that is fit for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to dwell within. We have a house that is pure, that is open, that the God of heaven, that is a holy and a righteous God, can come in. But you know what you're going to have to do? Once you get that house all that way, you got to invite him in. Father, I want you to come in. I want you to fill me with your spirit. And you know what that means? I'm asking him to come in and fill me with his power, with his love, with his grace, with his gentleness, with his forbearance, with all the fruits of the spirit. Isn't that what you want in a house? How many of you wives want a house where there's hatred and bitterness and strife? How many of you husbands want that? You don't, do you? God doesn't either. He will not dwell in a house, in a vessel that is defiled. And so we ask him to come in. And I'm going to tell you, young people, I know the devil makes being filled with the Spirit of God seem so hard and so foreign. But I'm going to tell you, that's all that it is. Once you have been saved and you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, all you have to do is invite God to come in and to dwell within your heart. You can't ask forgiveness for that. You can't take and get down and pray and say, Lord, I'm so sorry, I want you to... It's not that. What it is once you have repented from your sins and the blood has washed you and you've got the house new, now you just say, Lord, I want you to come in and fill me with your graces. But I'm going to tell you something. Once you do that, and you ask the Lord to come in and to cleanse you, to fill you with those things, do you know it's still your house? You say, well, it's been bought. It is. But I'm going to tell you, it's still your house. The Holy Spirit is limited by your will. He's limited by what you will allow him access into your house. If you go in there and he comes in, he'll be faithful to warn you. If you take and you start getting those old Kentucky Fried Chicken boxes and you say, I'll just stack them over here in the corner, you know what will happen? It'll end right back up like it was. It'll be defiled. The Lord will come to you and he'll warn you. And if you continue to do that and you say, well, I'll put him over here in this room and I'll close the door and nobody can see it. The Lord sees it. And he'll come by and he'll knock on your heart's door and he says, you need to get rid of that stuff. If you continue to do that, the Spirit of the Lord will eventually depart. Because, as I said, he will not dwell in a house, in a vessel, in a temple that is defiled. And so
But I want you to understand something. He don't just all of a sudden he's gone. What he does is he slowly begins to withdraw. You begin to slowly feel, I don't have that closeness with the Lord. I don't have that real burning in my soul that I once had. I'm getting a little bit short-tempered and I'm speaking like I shouldn't be. And I'm sorry and I don't want to be that way. But you see what happens is the Spirit of the Lord begins to depart. His graces do as well. His power does. And so what will happen as he begins to depart, he will keep knocking on your heart's door and he'll plead with you. Get rid of that. I can't stay here. I'm going to have to leave. You need to get rid of that. And eventually, it'll happen if you don't. Do you know what will happen is you got all those pizza boxes and all those to go. Do you have any of those? They're in this other room. And when people come, they don't see it. But what happens is you're constantly going, there's a roach and there's a mouse and there's flies, and you're constantly swatting at this and that, and you're like, where are these things coming from? And you're seeing things in your life, and you're saying, Lord, give me victory. Why am I having these things? And the Lord's saying, it's right over here. Let me in this room, and I'll tell you, there's the root of it over here. You know, if those mice are being attracted there and those roaches are being attracted there, they're not going to stay there. They're going to reach out through the rest of your life. And you know, the Lord keeps saying, get rid of it. That's why you're having all these problems with these temptations, these deep hurts, and all these things that are happening. There's something over here you need to get consecrated. You need to let me into that room, and I'll purge it out with the fire of my Holy Spirit. I'll cleanse it, and then you won't have any of these other things. I'm convinced, dear ones, the reason that people are struggling spiritually is because there's a deeper depth and the will has not been fully consecrated to God. When I come to that place and I say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, open any door in my life. Expose anything that's there. And I give you the right and the ability to be able to purge it out. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when you do, every room that is purged is a room that will hold more of the graces of God. It'll hold more of the power of God. It'll hold more of all the Spirit of God. And when you go forward, I'm going to tell you, you've got a vessel that is able to be used by God. Oh, dear ones, this is my burden this evening. I would that God would help each one of us to live a life that we can overcome everything that we're facing in our life and everything that's coming. And it's coming. But dear ones, the only way you're going to do that is you're going to have to watch. You're going to have to mark, and you're going to have to see what thou doest. You're going to have to begin to examine your life and say, Lord, now I had some problems here. How did I get to this place? I want you to show me, Lord, and I'm willing to cut it off if that's what it takes. I'm going to tell you, when you do that, you're in a place to receive power and grace that will enable you to not only defeat the foot soldiers, you're going to defeat the enemy of your soul. When you conquer your will, when you conquer the things that the enemy is using in your life to weaken you, and you give all that to God, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, you're in a place to have some true victories in your life. That's what I want. That's what every minister here wants. That's what the Lord wants. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't watch, you say, brother, that's just a simple plan of salvation, and that's as simple as I can get it. Most of us are familiar with it. Many of us, no doubt, have experienced it. But you know what my concern is? I'm afraid too many have failed to watch. You can have that, but dear ones, if you begin to get distracted, remember, not by the evil things, just the things of life, and you fail to cultivate the graces of God, The enemy will little by little begin to slip in little things. And those little things will cause the Spirit of God to begin to depart from your life. And once again, you'll find yourself in a place, if you continue down that path, of a home that's polluted, defiled, and the spirits of the enemy will come in and have complete sway over you. You don't want that. No. I don't want that. And God doesn't want that. No. And dear ones, that's why He sent this message tonight. He's saying, watch. Yes. Watch. Mark. Take heed. Amen. I would to God that every one of us here, dear ones, would get a deeper experience with God than we've ever had before. And that includes me. Because I'm going to tell you, that's where the peace and the power and the joy is. That's what the Lord wants for us. But I'm telling you, we've got a lot of things in the world today that's distracting people. And young people, middle-aged and older ones alike. I'm going to tell you, if you've gained some victory, the devil's coming back. He'll be back before the year is up. And he's going to try a different angle. I want to challenge you tonight to strengthen yourself, to get established, to get settled, to consecrate, to go all the way, as that song that we sang, that we heard sung earlier, that I'm going to go all the way. When you do that, that's when you're in a place where the Lord can come down. And he can give you power over all those foot soldiers that have been taunting you, that have been working with you, because you're going to not only destroy them, you're going to conquer the real enemy, which is self. And when self is conquered, I'm going to tell you, and we're surrendered to God, there's no greater power than the power of God. I appreciate your attention tonight. My burden is, watch. Every one of us, Lord, help us to watch, because the enemy is after our soul.